trunk or treat insert inside. And what that is on Halloween, we get a lot of people's vehicles. You pull your vehicle up here and you decorate the back of it. And a lot of kids will come through and we provide sort of a safe place for kids to come on Halloween, because we all know that there's some real creepy people out there that kind of do some crazy things with Halloween decorations. And you just don't know how safe it is, but we provide a safe place for your kids, your grandkids, the kids in this community to come and do that. So we want to invite you to take part of that. If you want to donate your trunk, there's a place for you to check on that. If you want to donate some candy, just whatever. I think we're also taking donations for hot dogs, hot dog buns, different things like that. So be sure to drop that in the offering plate whenever it comes around.
Justin, wouldn't it be awesome to have to take our trunks out in the street? That would just be awesome.
And
the parking lot was full. And
line them around the courthouse.
Yeah, no kidding.
Last year,
there was a line all the way down to the old theater for just to get candy from us. So bring lots of candy, folks. Lots of candy.
If you want to be part of history,
I'm just saying,
go ahead and sign up, all right?
Yeah.
So also be sure to tear out your connection card, fill that out, drop that in the offering plate so that we can have record of you being here. And just a few different things we want to point out. I want everyone to know that we are amongst royalty here today. Prince Sterling, I believe, was crowned the Prince of Homecoming. So be sure to razz him about that a little bit. And I'm sorry, Sterling. But also this past week, Christian Dockery broke his leg, and they set everything up. He's in the recovery stages of that right now. Everything's going fine. And also Linda Gregory had surgery earlier this week and is doing fine as well. So, Eric, do you have anything you want to add to that? At this point, if you would, just on the inside of your bulletin where the announcements are, we have in bold our mission statement. If you would look at that and read that with me, starting with our mission. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. You guys ready to praise the Lord? Let's do it.
All my days.
Some fun this morning? All right, let's give the Lord praise. Got a new one for you. Worship God. Sing along when you feel comfortable. God, we come before you this day. We thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you, God, for those who are here who have taken time out of their busy schedule to gather together as a community of faith. And Lord, as we gather together, we ask for your powerful, powerful anointing. Now, we understand that you are here, God, but we never want to take that for granted, and we ask you in Jesus' name to come upon us, to fill us full of your Spirit, to wash our sins away, God, to give us strength, Lord, to ask for forgiveness, to open our eyes, and to help our understanding of the things that we need to ask forgiveness for. Wash over us, God, and strengthen us. Heal us. You know us in many ways better than we know ourselves, God. So fill us full of your healing, Holy Spirit. We need you, Jesus. Holy God, as we come together, may your Spirit empower us. May your Spirit fill this place so full and so strongly that all evil and negative thoughts run scared. May your light shine within us, and may your light overcome all of the dark corners that are within us, Lord. May they shine on things that we believe are our most secret things. May we realize that you know us and you love us anyway. Holy God, be with us today. Make us one with you. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, it's time for Kids Corner. All you kids, young at heart even, come on down.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I
love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes I do.
Yes I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Good morning. Today we're going to start talking about generosity. Does anybody know what generosity means or what generosity is? No? Well, I have this handy-dandy iPhone, and I just looked up the definition. And it says that generosity is the quality of being kind and generous, the quality or fact of being plentiful or large, libertarily in giving or willingness to give. That's what generosity is. It's giving. And do you know that whenever we give to God and to Jesus, that they make everything that we give to them good? Yeah? I'm going to read you a story, and it's a story out of the Bible about a little boy who had some bread and some fish, and he gave it to Jesus. And do you know what Jesus did with that? Anybody? No? Well, we're going to read the story and find out, okay? No. Jesus and his disciples were tired. They needed a quiet place to rest. So they got into a boat and pushed off from shore. A crowd followed the boat. Over 5,000 people had come to see Jesus. Even though he was tired, Jesus wanted to help them. He climbed out of the boat, and he began to bless and heal many people. Later that day, the disciples said to Jesus, "It's getting late. These people should go home and eat dinner." Jesus replied, "We can feed them. See if anybody has any food to share." The disciples found one boy. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me." The disciples asked, "How would so little food feed this many people?" Jesus said, "You will see. Have the people sit down." Then Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God. His disciples gave bread and fish to everyone. To their surprise, 12 baskets were left over. So did you see how the little boy gave his bread and his fish to Jesus? And what did Jesus do with that? What did Jesus do with it? He made more, that's right. And he was able to feed those 5,000 people because one little boy was generous enough to give his food, and Jesus turned that into good and fed everybody. So what do you guys think? Do you think that you have something that you could give to Jesus? I think coming to church is giving to Jesus, isn't it? Yes? What else can you do for Jesus? Give the church to him. You can help at the church. When you see trash, can you pick it up and put it in the trash can? That's helping, isn't it? Yeah? Okay, I want this week for you guys to think about things that you can do to help your church and to help Jesus, and what you can do and what you can give to Jesus. And I don't mean just your money and your food. Those are great things to give. But you have other things you can give too. So I want you to think really hard this week about the things that you can do, okay? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for bringing all these children here to our church. And I pray that you guide us and guide each of them and put generosity into their hearts so that they can think about the things to give you and what they can do to make better disciples and to work for our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's collect change.
As the kids come around and collect change for missions, we invite you to sing along with us, "Everlasting God."
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't
give the Lord a hand this morning.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. Are we looking Old Testament or New Testament? New Testament. And 1 Timothy comes right before what? 2 Timothy. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy as an encouragement. The relationship between Paul and Timothy is very much that of Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san, or Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker, however you want to look at it. But once you have 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. Okay, whether you have it on your phone, on your Kindle, your Nook, wherever, lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, starting with verse 17, Paul writes, "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Oh, now, come on. Come on. How's everybody doing today? Woo! All right. It's good to see you. Good to see each and every one of you. We have a special treat today. And the special treat's sitting right over here. His name is Brian Hammons. He is, for the whole state of Missouri, the Missouri Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, he is the conference lay leader for us. And so he represents you. He is this conference's representative to the rest of the church as far as lay leadership is concerned, as far as laity in the church is concerned. So it is a joy to have him here. He is... he speaks well, and he is well spoken of as well. So I just want you to, whenever the time comes, to give him a great Warsaw welcome. He is, some of you may know him, and for you high school guys, I'm sorry, he's from Stockton. I don't know. Got some football players over here. Yeah. But his home church is the Stockton United Methodist Church. And some of you may also have heard of his name or his company. His company is Hammond's Product Company. And anybody know what his company does? Black walnuts, does that ring a bell? He is the leader in the black walnut industry. And of course, this is a very busy time of the year when most of us are hitting them with our mowers. He's picking them up. So, and like I said, first service, I told him that most of us in this church, no, I should say the pastor, let me put it that way, is nutty enough. We don't need to bring, anyway. So, yeah. Brian, thank you so much for being here. Let's give Brian a warm welcome today.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Good morning. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Eric, for that very nice introduction. And it is an exciting time of the year. Beautiful, beautiful day outside that God has given to us. And And the abundance of the harvest is out there, and I experienced that in many ways this time of year, as you can imagine. And I'm certainly thankful for all the blessings that God gives to us. And truly is a joy to be with you. You know, there are a lot of things going on right now, and some of you may be a little focused on the Cardinals baseball playoff run and the excitement of all that too, and it's wonderful for you to come to church here this morning and be a part of what a wonderful spirit-filled place this is. I just love your sanctuary and the people here that I've had a chance to visit with, and God is doing some wonderful things in you and through you in the community of Warsaw, and praise God. Well, when Pastor Eric asked me to come share with you this morning, he mentioned that you were starting on a new series about extravagant generosity on giving. And so he asked me to share a little bit about giving with our prayers, presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. You know, the five commitments that we make when we join the church. And really in all of life, those kinds of things we need to be giving. So this morning I'd just like to share with you a few thoughts. Now remember, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm a layperson. So I'm going to stay here behind this lectern with some notes and refer that to you. And I'd just like to share with you a few simple thoughts from my experiences and my beliefs about giving. Let me first say that I believe that financial giving is important. It's very important. And our bishop has some great teaching on extravagant generosity. Some of you have seen the book. I think many of the Sunday schools are studying the book in the next few weeks. And he's also got the book on the five practices of fruitful living and fruitful congregations and chapter on extravagant generosity there. So a lot of really, really solid teaching in that area. And we had a focus upon extravagant generosity in our annual conference back in June. And that was inspiring and really exciting. But, you know, I still get anxious when I'm invited to come and speak to a congregation about giving. Because I know that a lot of people in the church really don't like it when the pastor or a speaker starts talking about money. In fact, a few people even don't show up on the Sunday when they're talking about money. Now, I'm glad that you're here, and I hope you'll still be here when I'm finished. But why is that? Why is it that we have just sort of a defensive reaction in talking about financial giving in the church? Well, when I ask that question, I feel a little bit like Andy Rooney. You know Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes? Why is it that he always has some kind of pithy sayings and interesting comparisons? Why is it? Well, I think it may have something to do with the heart. The heart. Everybody has a heart, right? And you can check your heart. Make sure it's working right. You can check your pulse. You can do that now if you want to. Hold your finger over your wrist. That's one way to do it. And check, make sure. And if anybody has trouble, doesn't have a pulse, why, our ushers may want to come up and help you. Be ready to do that. But what do we get when we check our pulse? What about our spiritual pulse? You know, the Bible refers to the heart when it's talking about spirituality and our spiritual life. So if we could take our spiritual pulse, what would we find? And that's important. That's really important because when we think about our spiritual heart, we're really talking about the central driving force of our lives. That central driving force, what we value, desire, think about what we spend our time and our money on, that central driving force. What's that for you? What is that? Maybe it changes from time to time, maybe even moment to moment. At times, it's on God. In a wonderful worship experience, our hearts are focused upon God, and that's exciting. Sometimes it's on family. Or work. Or maybe fishing or playing golf. Or maybe on the Cardinals baseball game tonight. As for me, if I'm really honest about it, I find that sometimes my central driving force, my heart, is probably not very Christ-like. Anybody else have that situation? Sometimes that happens. Well, Jesus speaks a lot about this in his teaching. A lot of Jesus' teaching have to do with the heart. And I'm especially struck by the story of the rich young man whose heart was so focused upon his wealth that he just wasn't able to set it aside and follow Jesus. And that was tragic. That's in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26. Jesus earlier said in the Sermon on the Mount that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus knew that people in his time were tempted to focus upon material things, money, possessions, stuff. In fact, about 20% of Jesus' teachings had to do with giving and money. About 20%. How much more so today, with all the distractions and advertising and stuff and focus upon getting, how much more today are we tempted to set our hearts on getting more, keeping more, and spending more? And with today's tough economy, certainly a lot of people really do have a tough time making ends meet. So it's natural. It's natural or human for us to become a little defensive when we're asked in church to consider our spending and giving habits as we check our spiritual pulse. Though we really do have to if we're serious about following Jesus. Well, that brings us to today's scripture. So let's take a look again at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here Paul is instructing the young preacher, the young Jedi Knight, if you would. That was an interesting analogy. He's instructing the young preacher Timothy on what to teach those who are rich. He says in 1 Timothy 6:17 that those who find themselves with possessions should not be haughty or set their hopes or their hearts on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Right before these instructions, Paul has a warning for those who are obsessed about getting stuff. In 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10, he says, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Those who want to be rich, the love of money is a root of evil. Sounds like the focus is upon the heart. It's upon the heart. Being rich isn't the issue. In fact, many of us, most of us, probably are rich, especially when we compare ourselves with the rest of the world, most people in the rest of the world we sometimes hear about. We don't realize it, but we really are rich. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, said that whoever has sufficient food to eat and raiment to put on, with a place to lay his head, and something over, is rich. That was toward the latter part of his life in 1781 when he recognized the difficulty people could get into as they became a little bit more affluent. His sermon was called "The Danger of Riches." So when we consider acquiring and giving, it's really not about the money. It's about the heart. And that's why this message is entitled Heartfelt Giving. Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 18 that those who are rich, us, should do good, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. That sounds a lot like the second of John Wesley's three rules for Methodists. Remember what those are? Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Or maybe the three rules he said he had for the use of money: earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So Jesus, Paul, Wesley, and many other Christian teachers recognize that our hearts are somehow drawn to money and possessions. And that when the pastor or speaker in the church starts talking about giving, our natural reaction is to hold on for our wallet and get defensive. And if we're not careful, our hearts can then become more focused upon money than upon God, who gives everything, including our money. Let me say that again. If we're not careful, our hearts can be focused more on the money than upon the God who gives our money. Well, if the issue then is the heart, perhaps the solution is too. Maybe that's why Paul equates a focus upon God with doing good works, being generous and ready to share. Attitudes of the heart. Also, maybe that's why Bishop Snasey has observed that extravagant generosity is one of the main practices of fruitful living. Is there perhaps an even bigger reason? Bigger than this? Well, Paul ends his instruction in verse 19. He ends it by giving this desired result. He says, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Life. That's it. Life. That's why Paul warns of the dangers in focusing too much on money and stuff, and tells us to do good and share. Life. It's like breathing. Breathing in and out. In and out. Receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. The rhythm that is life. By the way, I like that phrase, so that. If any of you have read my column in the Methodist Review, you know that I wrote recently on so that. Levitt Weems says that those two words are the most important leadership words because they point toward the reason or the result that you expect. Paul was pointing toward the reason for doing these things. He said, so that we may take hold of the life that really is life, and to share that life with others. That's what following Jesus is all about. You know, our mission, to make disciples of Jesus, to lead people to follow Jesus Christ, to participate in the life that Jesus offers, and to offer that life to others. John's gospel may have the best so that statement there ever was. It has to do with God's reason for giving. Remember John 3:16? John 3:16. We could almost say it together, couldn't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. So that God gave, so that life for us and for everyone else who believes. That's exciting. It tells us of God's heart and God's focus. He gave and continues to give, so that life. As we practice giving, then, we follow God in some small way. We give because God gives. We give in thanks as part of our spiritual relationship with God. We don't give because the church needs money. Some organizations, many organizations, that's the reason you give, because they need the money, you believe in their cause. But we give because of our need to include financial disciplines as part of our spiritual life of faith, our relationship with God. We give a tithe, or 10%, regardless of what our income is. We give a percentage of our income, again, not because the church needs money, but so that God's life in us can be shared with other people through the church's ministries, so that our relationship with God can be stronger and a higher priority than our relationship with our money. Well, let me finish by relating a little bit of my personal story of giving. When I was younger, I probably looked at giving as a responsibility, something I really should do. I didn't really understand all the things that I've just talked about. I thought that the church needed money to operate, and I really should do my part. I'd give a little, and maybe someday, if I had more, I'd give more. Maybe even get to that tithe mark that was supposed to mean I was really, really good. So after I got married, my wife Kim and I gave what we thought we could afford. Unfortunately, we were blessed with enough to share, but with a young family, it usually wasn't really all that much, as I think about it in retrospect, and it really wasn't a very great sacrifice. Well, then about 16 or 17 years ago, when we lived in Texas, we began to understand the spiritual importance of giving. When Kim and I decided to tithe for the first time to give 10% of our income, we really didn't know how we were going to do that. I had a salary and a decent job, but we had a mortgage, three young children, and Kim didn't work outside the home. It was a little scary. But we heard the pastor's message, and we sensed God's assurance that it would work out. And you know what? It did. And it continues to. Well, since then, over the years, we've been even more willing to step out in faith, both financially and in some other major life decisions. We've truly been blessed. We've learned through our giving. We've been blessed even through a lot of financial struggles. But probably our perspective, our heart, has become more open. Now, whenever I write that check to the church every week, there's a sense of joy. And sometimes I say a little prayer of thanks also, knowing that once again, God has provided. I'm really happy to give to the church, especially when I know I'm joining so many others in making ministry possible, spreading the hope, the love, and the power of Jesus Christ through the church's ministries, the life that Christ offers. I think this spiritual growth has spilled over into some other parts of my life as well. My business decisions, involvement in the community organizations, and of course there are many opportunities for generosity with our children as they have grown, especially through the college years. Many, many opportunities in that regard. So I thank God. I thank God for blessing me with the opportunities to learn about giving, and I seek forgiveness for the times when I just don't come through as I should. As I think about it, there have been plenty of both in my life. Well, what is God putting on your heart? What's God putting on your heart this fall about giving? In the next few weeks, you'll have an opportunity to consider that and to pray about that. And what is the so that objective that your giving will achieve? The so that. God gave so that we might have life. May we give so that through the church's ministries, others will grow into new life by following Jesus Christ. And so that we ourselves may grow closer to Christ in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you so much once again for today and for all that you've given to us and all that you continue to give to us. And Lord, when we are tempted to feel that we have less than we need, help us to rely on you, to remember your provision, your giving of your Son, Christ, and your giving of us life and continued life, even everlasting life. And so we know, we trust that you'll give us what we need. And Lord, let us be willing in our hearts to share financially and in so many ways of the life that is you. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite our ushers to come up, and I just want to encourage you to stay just in this attitude, in this atmosphere of worship, and with everything that Brian's talked about. I want you to just ask the Lord, what is he asking of you? God has been so extravagantly generous to you, generous to me, and so I just want you to be sensitive to that. I just want to invite you to ask the Lord, God, what are you asking me to give and to do? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much, God. You have been so generous to us with your Son and you sending him to die for our sins, God, so that we can have fellowship and that we can have community and that we can be with you in the heavens. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for giving all that you have so that we may have life, so that we can live, so that we can be that your hands and feet, God, and we give this back to you, asking you to bless it so that others may come to know you and so that you may be glorified and so that you may be magnified. And we lift these up to you and we say these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence, that you were touched, either by a song, by the sermon, by scripture. God creates us in ways that we are touched and we hear in different ways. That's what the last 5 weeks have been about, right? Our love languages, we understand in different ways. And we just thank you for being here to support Brian and his message today. Come on up here and join us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is a great man, and I know that he would love to greet you and say hi to you. You know, if you have questions for him, I'm sure he would be happy to answer those questions to the best of his ability. But I want you to go from this place knowing that you are a child of God and that you are never, ever, ever alone. I hope that just helps you feel. I know some of you hear that every Sunday, and praise God. Because you know what? We need to hear that more than once a week. Amen. You are a child of God and you are not alone. And this church, and I know all churches do, but speaking personally, this church does its best to help you remember that you are not alone. And so we thank you so much for your presence today. And we thank you for being a part of this community of faith. And make sure you greet Brian on the way out and send your appreciation to him. Thank you for being here today. So go from this place with the confidence of knowing that you are loved. You are loved even though all those things that you know that you have in your life that you think, oh, people can't love me. You are loved deeply in spite of all those things. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.
Today is the day.